This morning we are concluding our series, The Heart of Jesus, and we find ourselves on the cusp of a new year, closing out 2013 and looking forward to 2014. And so we find the title of this morning's message as Jesus, Maker of All Things New. My hope is this morning is that it will be a three-point sermon, and I don't mean just having three literal points, but as that derived from the Puritans, their understanding of the sermon was it would challenge the mind, it would move the heart, and it would spur the feet into action. And so my hope is this morning is that the message of God's Word that God has just continually placed before me this past week, that it would challenge our minds, it would move our hearts, and it would spur our feet to action. The background of our text this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and the author of this text is the Apostle Paul, and he was writing to a church with a long list of problems and issues that needed attention. The Apostle Paul, he's speaking to this church in manners which are both confrontational at times, and yet full of God's love, full of God's grace, full of God's mercy, and full of His compassion. 2 Corinthians is found, it's important that we note, within a series of communication from the Apostle Paul. And so he had been in communication with this church from time and time again, and it's important that we understand that this letter was penned on the heels of a good report from Titus, Paul's co-worker in the faith. So Titus had gone to Corinth. He had seen exactly what was happening there and what was going on there. And so he comes back to Paul and he gives him a good report. And this good report was in response to what Paul penned as what he called the severe letter. There's two main themes in 2 Corinthians. And the first was to express his relief and joy at the Corinthians' repentance while defending his apostleship. And he also wanted this church to continue preparations for the collection for the poor at Jerusalem while confronting the false apostles. So the Apostle Paul, he sought to bring unity to a fractured body of believers while encouraging proper treatment of all people while exhorting them to continue on in the faith. And I want us to hear that. The Apostle Paul sought to bring unity to a fractured body of believers. And yes, the church in Corinth was fractured. He sought to encourage the proper treatment of all people while exhorting them to continue on in the faith. Each year in December, I find myself looking forward to the new year. And you know, we serve and we worship a God of second chances. And maybe that's why I'm drawn to after Christmas, when things are dying down, when things are simmering down, and we can all just pause and exhale after all the hustle and bustle of celebrating Christmas. But I find myself each year pondering the past events of the previous year, but then also looking forward to the next year coming forward. And what I mean by we worship a God of second chances, in all of our lives, there's going to be times in our life when we look back that there are things in our life that we don't like. There are things in our life that we wish we could have a do-over, a mulligan if you're a golfer. There are things in our life that we wish we could go back and just have a second crack at it. And friends, God is a God of second chances. And I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm drawn to the end of the year, because we look forward to the new year coming forward, and then I begin to look and ponder goals. I begin to look and ponder what direction, what route, what needs to take place, what needs to happen. And then I begin to construct the path, not based upon my wants or desires, but where God is leading. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul was seeking to convey to those in the church of Corinth. And as I mentioned, the objective which Paul speaks, namely to encourage proper treatment of all people, is one main objective that we will address this morning. So if you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope you've brought them this morning, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and for contextual reasons, we will begin at verse 14. So follow along with me if you would. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him, meaning Jesus, who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I want us to notice before we turn to verse 16, there's going to be three quick things that I'm going to offer to us that we can utilize as our roadmap for 2014. But I want us to notice the basis for all three of these things, beginning in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The context here is the Apostle Paul, I believe, is looking back to the road to Damascus. And I believe that he was that time when he engaged and encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that that is exactly what he is drawing on. He's drawing on his moment of salvation. And he's drawing upon that time where he engaged and he interacted with the risen Lord Jesus. And we all, if you are in Christ, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we all have that time of salvation. And that's the basis for what should compel us to move forward. He says it in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us. Friends, I don't know that there's any greater thing that should compel us forward than the love of Christ, than Jesus Christ's love that has been poured in your heart and in my heart. And that, my friends, should be the greatest motivating factor in all of our life moving forward. It's the love of Christ. And many times we love things of this world more than we love Jesus. We love our work. We love our families. We love our possessions. We love all these things, and they compete time and time again. And yet Paul says, it's the love of Christ that should compel us. It's the love of Jesus that should move us forward, and as we look forward to 2014, it should be the love of Christ that compels us because of what he has done, and he has died for all of us. And if he died for all of us, then it is through him that we live. I share a story this morning because, friends, the thing about it is that when we are compelled by the love of Christ, we open ourselves up to what God wants to do in our life and through our life. And so I offer this story told by Ian L. Wilson. He shares the story of a London businessman by the name of Lindsay Clegg, who told the account of a warehouse property that he was selling. The building had been empty for months and months, and it needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors and smashed the windows, and they had thrown trash all around the interior. And as he showed a prospective buyer the property, Lindsay Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, he would bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and he would clean out all the garbage. Forget about the repairs, the buyer said. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building, I want the site. Ian L. Wilson compares this to what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And he shares, he said, compared with the renovation God has in mind, our efforts to improve our own lives are as trivial as sweeping a warehouse slated for the wrecking ball. When we become God's, the old life is over, friends. He makes all things new, and all he wants is the sight and the permission to build. And so, friends, my question as we begin this morning is, what is compelling you? What is compelling me? Is it the love of Christ or is it the love of something else? And if it's the love of Christ, then the natural reaction and the natural response will be to say to Jesus, I give you the sight of my heart. I give you permission to do your work in my life. But as we prepare for 2014, as I mentioned, I want us to notice three things from this passage. The first is to notice the new sight. Verse 16, Paul writes, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. The first thing is, when we are compelled by the love of Christ, we will view Jesus differently. We're told in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. As he is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist. And so we have a new sight. We see Jesus differently. No longer will we worship a babe in a manger as we celebrated Christmas, but we will worship an exalted, a glorified, a edifying Savior who rules on the throne of heaven. And hear that again. No longer will we worship the babe in the manger, but we will worship an exalted, a glorified Savior who rules on the throne of heaven. And that's important, that's vital, that's essential, because many times we want the babe in a manger so we can control Jesus and control him in our own ways. But it's the love of Christ that needs to compel us. It's the love of Christ that needs to move us forward. And so we recognize who we worship. We have a new view of Jesus. We view him differently. Friends, Jesus was not only a historical figure that lived on this earth many years ago, but he was and he is the Son of God. His name is Emmanuel, or God incarnate, which means God is with us. And we must see him as such. We must worship him in a manner which is worthy of him, and we must view Jesus differently. And that's the new sight. The second half of this verse is, we will see and view people differently. We regard no one according to the flesh, is what verse 16 says. And think about the author, the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians. He was so much chasing them down, viewing them from the externals. And based upon what they possessed, based upon what they did, he judged them. And now, coming to Christ and being compelled by the love of Christ, he is saying, we regard no one according to the flesh. And so we need to view and have the new sight of viewing people differently. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, his view, the Apostle Paul's view of people, it changed dramatically and drastically when he encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. As I mentioned, he was once a persecutor of Christians. And he was one who judged people based upon external standards. And now, because of the change of Jesus and what Jesus brought to him, no longer did he see a distinction between people. No longer did he see a categorically, you know, view of a differentiation between people based upon their externals. But notice what he did see a distinction was. He viewed people based upon their connection to Christ. Hear that. He viewed people based upon their connection to Christ, meaning those who were in Christ and those who were in need of salvation, those who were in need of hearing the gospel. And so he was being compelled by the love of Christ to edify and exhort and encourage those who were in a relationship with Jesus, and he was being compelled by the love of Christ to share the gospel with those who were not yet in a relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And so, friends, we, as we move into 2014, we need to have the new sight. If we're going to fulfill what Jesus has asked, then we must be connected with the law of love. And this love compelling us, the love of Christ, and love for Christ filling our hearts, and Jesus' love filling our hearts and flooding out, and love for people flowing from our hearts, and love for people shown through our lives. May we all stop differentiating between people based upon their eternal and external appearance in the world, what the world deems to be important. And may we all show the love of God and be compelled with that love and to view them based upon their spiritual connection to Christ. The second thing we can notice from this passage is there's a new connection. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. They're gone. They're done away with. A God of second chances. Don't live in 2013 anymore. Move forward and embrace the unknown. Embrace what God has for you and I in 2014. Because in the last part of this verse, Paul says, behold, all things have become new. You see, friends, this new connection is taking an individual from outside of the family of God, and it's bringing an individual into the family of God. And we were once outside, and now that old has been passed away and it's done away with, and all things have become new. And I want us to understand the new connection that, yes, we have earthly families and those experiences that we have growing up, but we also have the spiritual family. We have Trinity United Methodist Church, the family of God, the body of believers, and there are many members but one body in the body of Christ. And it's that new connection that we need to just grow and we need to encourage. It's a connection that moves us from knowledge from a worldly point of view, and it gives way to knowledge in light of the cross. I want us to hear that and understand that. Knowledge from the worldly point of view is focused on the externals, and knowledge in light of the cross is focused on the condition of the heart. And so when we have new sight, we have a different view of Jesus, we have a different view of people, but then we realize we have a new connection to the family of God. And Jesus himself stated that whoever does the will of his Father in heaven is his family member. Hear that. Whoever does God's will is Jesus' mother, father, sister, and brother. You'll find that in Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. And so, friends, when we have this new connection, we have a new connection to the family of God. We have been bought by the blood of Christ. We have been adopted as children of God. We've been grafted into the family of God, and we have become members of the body of Christ. That's newness. And if you've never experienced the fellowship of believers, I encourage you and I challenge all of us is to live as we have been adopted into the family of God. And yet some of us, we want to live in such a way that we have one foot in the world and one foot over here and then one foot over here. And I think it's because we want the benefits of what the world has and we want the benefits of what God has. Friends, it doesn't work that way. We must foster this new connection by intentionally seeking to connect with others in God's family. We must seek to grow our faith by engaging in Bible studies, small groups, fellowship activities, and opportunities to serve others with the love of Christ. And it's this new connection. I don't know about you, but God is really bringing Trinity together as one, united, as Jesus prayed in John 17. May they be one as he and the Father are one. And there's been a great, tremendous strides that have been accomplished and gained over the last year in this area. When I arrived here some 18 months ago, it seemed as though there were two congregations. It seemed like we had the 9 o'clock congregation and the 11 o'clock congregation. And it's been intentional that I've sought to bring us together and bring us as one because we are one. We ought not be so fragmented. And it's this new connection, and my challenge in moving into the next year is to have the new sight, to view Jesus differently, not just, you know, a babe in a manger, but a glorified, exalted Son of God, ruler on the throne of heaven, and to view people differently. View people through the love of Christ. And then to embrace and foster this new connection with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know about you, if you've ever met someone from far away that you've never met before and they're a believer in Jesus and you ultimately quickly have this deep connection. It's the Spirit of God, friends. It's God's Spirit, deep calling to deep, saying you are connected to one another. And that is a blessing and a benefit. When we go to Mexico, I anticipate some of that taking place down there. Although thousands of miles away, I'm sure that there will be believers there that will be connected deeply, spiritually, with us when we go and serve. The third thing that we can notice from this text is a new purpose. And notice this, the foundational, the new site, the new connection, it results in a new purpose. A lot of us meander through life and we don't understand what our purpose is. And this includes all believers. Look at verse 18 with me, if you will. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And listen to what he's given to you and to me. And he has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile someone or something is to bring it back into harmony, to put it back in place with the connection. And all of us in Christ Jesus, as believers in Jesus, in the family of God, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And I can hear the thoughts already, but I can't, but I can't, but I can't. I can't do this, I can't do that. But friends, I can't isn't here anymore. Because Jesus conquered the grave. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could pass through. And so we can and we must. As I mentioned, it's dependent upon the other previous new aspects, being a new creation in Christ and all that that means and all it brings to us. Without new sight, we will never see those who are in need of a shepherd and hear that. You see, we see the spiritual connection or the lack thereof. And without that new sight, we will never see those people who are in desperate need of a shepherd, the shepherd Jesus, the living Lord. We will never see those in a spiritual need of a relationship with Christ. We will only see them for what they have externally and superficially. Without a new connection, we will never grow in our faith to the point of sharing it with others. And I want us to hear that. Without a new connection, without connecting with the family of God, our faith will never grow to the point where we feel comfortable sharing it with others. It will never happen. Ever, ever, ever. We will never be bold in our faith unless we open ourselves up to others who can speak truth into our lives, and we will never be encouraged or edified and exhorted to continue on this journey of being made into Christ-likeness. And so the ministry of reconciliation, there's many ways we can participate in that. We can begin by prayer. I was in a meeting not too long ago where an individual said, let's pray for all those in Gibsonburg who have yet to profess faith in Christ Jesus. That's an awesome prayer. That's a prayer that's consistent with the will of God, because Jesus said in his holy word in Thessalonians that God's will is that all would come to saving faith and none would perish. And so we can begin by getting on our knees. We can begin by pleading with the living Lord to send his Holy Spirit to begin to woo and to begin to draw the hearts and the souls of those who have yet to know Christ as Lord and Savior will come to him. We can begin by sharing the love of Christ, being compelled and motivated and moved with God's love by serving others. And I'm not talking about going on gigantic mission trips. I'm talking about in our everyday daily activity. While you go to the store, while you go to the post office, while you go here and go there, a kind word, a kind gesture that's compelling you by the love of Christ to share with them. Maybe that's exactly what will be different that they need to hear and to see. There are many ways we can employ and embrace this ministry of reconciliation, to bring back, to reconcile in harmony that which is lost with the living Lord and the living God. So my challenge as we enter into 2014 for all of us is to possess the new perspective, the new sight, by truly worshiping the glorified Jesus enthroned in heaven, by possessing and fostering the new connection with the body of Christ, by getting engaged with others in our community of faith and opening up ourselves to the transformation power of the Holy Spirit of God, and by possessing the new purpose of ministry of reconciliation. Because that, my friends, is your purpose and mine. We have all been called to participate in this ministry. It's not an optional thing. It's not a I will if I want to. It's something that all of us have been blessed with. All of us have been given that ministry of reconciliation to bring back those who have yet to come to Christ. We can do this by praying, as I mentioned. We can do this by going and serving, as I mentioned. We can do this by sharing the love of Christ in word, in action, and in deed. We can do this by obediently following where the Lord is leading you and I. As we move forward to 2014, I look forward to many great things that the Lord has for Trinity. I really do. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. I believe God has done many great things here this past year, but many more are in store. But friends, a lot of what is dependent upon what comes to pass is where our heart is. Is our heart being compelled by the love of Christ? And if so, we will have the new sight. We'll experience the new connection. And we will embrace the new purpose of sharing the love of Christ. Let us pray. Precious Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this challenge. We thank you for this word. And Father, we just ask you to allow you to change us, to mold us, to make us, to shape us, to form us into your likeness. Father, may we be the light of the world as you have called us. And Jesus, may we truly be the salt of the earth that causes others to be thirsty for you, the living water, and that water that truly satisfies and truly quenches the thirst of the soul. So Lord, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for everyone here and all those who aren't here. I pray that you would bless them. May we embrace where you are leading us. May we embrace and just courageously and boldly obediently follow your lead, and may you be honored and glorified. We praise you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior, we pray. Amen.